A few months back, we heard from Mind Medicine Australia, a new organisation advocating for the use and availability of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy in Australia. That means people with illnesses such as depression, anxiety, PTSD, and other mental health issues taking mushrooms or MDMA with a therapist. Now, while it might sound a bit far out, there's a lot of international research to suggest that it works dramatically in the right context. And this month, there's a new submission before the TGA, Australia's drug regulator, to make these psychedelic substances available for therapeutic use. If successful, it would be the first. We would be the first country in the world where there's been this kind of therapy since the 1970s. Indie Media's Jesse Noakes spoke to Peter Hunt, founder of Mind Medicine Australia, about whether Australia was likely to be ahead of the curve, or perhaps whether we are getting a little ahead of ourselves.
A few months back, we heard from Mind Medicine Australia, a new organisation advocating for the use and availability of psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy in Australia. That means people with depression, anxiety, PTSD, taking mushrooms or MDMA with a therapist. Might sound a bit far out, but there's a lot of international research, as we heard then, to suggest that it works dramatically in the right context. This month, there's a new submission before the TGA, Australia's drug regulator, to make these psychedelic substances available for therapeutic use. If successful, we would be the first country in the world where they were since the 70s. I spoke this morning with Peter Hunt, founder of Mind Medicine Australia, about whether Australia was likely to be ahead of the curve or whether we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, what Mind Medicine is about is bringing psychedelic-assisted therapies to Australia so that people with depression and PTSD and other mental illnesses that are relevant can get access to these therapies. The reason we need them is that the existing treatment modality for mental illness in Australia isn't actually helping a large number of people, perhaps a majority of people. And these therapies are showing amazing remission rates in overseas trials. So we really do need them here as soon as possible, done in a sensible way, in a medically controlled environment. But Mind Medicine Australia is all about developing the ecosystem so that these therapies can be available to all Australians, irrespective of wealth and irrespective of location.
And so you've spoken about psychedelic assisted psychotherapy there as the reason that you've set up MMA. Can you go a bit more in depth and explain to listeners what exactly that means, psychedelic assisted psychotherapy?
Yeah, no. Let me just start with traditional therapies. If you, for example, have depression, the two major treatment modalities for you are antidepressants. And you're going to be on those for a long, long time, and they may well have nasty side effects. And if you want to come off them, you may well have nasty withdrawal symptoms. Or psychotherapy, and that requires a real determination on your part and significant resources, because psychotherapy takes a long time. The beauty of these therapies is we're talking about only three sessions with the medicines. It takes place in a medically controlled environment. It starts with you meeting the therapists and developing a relationship with them. You'll then have a dose session with the medicine. That'll be followed by integration of the experience that you gain through the medicine. And you might do that two or three times. And the beauty of this methodology is that's it. We're seeing remission rates with that methodology or modality overseas of somewhere between 60 and 80%.
So when we talk about a session with the medicine, what does that actually involve? What are we talking about? What are people experiencing and what are they taking?
Okay, well, psilocybin and MDMA are different, but just starting with psilocybin, you'd go into a medically controlled environment in a room that was decked out to feel comfortable, in other words, to feel not like a medically controlled environment. You'd lie on a couch, you'd probably have some ear shades, you might have some beautiful music playing in the background. In the case of psilocybin, you'd then be given a capsule. For the first half an hour, nothing would happen and you'd probably be wondering what this was all about. And then you'd start to see colors in your eyes, you know, the typical sort of psychedelic colors. And then you'd literally go into another level of consciousness. And you'd come out of that experience 5-6 hours later. And many people who've gone through that experience talk about it as being one of the top five experiences of their lives, because it is just so different from the experience we normally have as human beings. And the amazing thing about the experience is you come out of that experience feeling incredibly connected. And the reason I say that is if you think about depression is all about feeling disconnected. You know, I'm not good enough, no one loves me, I don't have meaning in life. You come out of that experience feeling incredibly connected, and it's through that connectedness that with the therapist, that's really the first stage out of the depression.
And what about later stages? What are the consequences for people typically of these sessions? I mean, does it lead to lasting changes in how they're feeling?
Yeah, I mean, the beauty is the connectedness that people come out with. That's followed by an integration session with the therapist, where the experience is worked through. And so you can start putting that experience of connectedness into your daily life. And as I say, the remission rates they're getting from this process overseas are nothing short of extraordinary.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, there is clearly some sort of clinical evidence base to this as well. You talk about connection, and while I don't think anyone's going to dispute that it's fundamentally important to the human experience, or at least a good human experience, it can be a slightly sort of nebulous term as well. Are there some cold hard numbers to go with these claims?
Well, yeah, I mean, there've been a number of trials, and they're all showing remission rates of between 60% and 80%. There've also been some work done using MRI scans, so actually looking at the brain under psilocybin. And it's really fascinating because what it shows is that a huge amount of connectedness taking place within the brain. So that feeling of connectedness when you come out of the experience is actually mirrored by what's happening in the brain during the dosage session with the medicines.
Okay. And I'm presuming that most of these trials that you're talking about, the MRI scans and the therapy sessions, have been taking place overseas. What's the sort of pedigree for performing this research here in Australia?
Well, yeah. I mean, to date, they've all been taking place overseas. There's one trial which is really just got started before COVID and is now being held up by COVID. All the work's been done overseas, but you know, it's been done overseas in places like America and the UK / Europe, and done at major universities. So the pedigree is very, very strong. And the caliber of the researchers involved in this work, very strong. So we're talking about universities like Imperial College, Oxford, Cambridge, Yale, Harvard, UCL. You know, these are top global, Johns Hopkins, top global universities.
Yeah, and clearly you think the pedigree is strong enough that it merits considering rolling it out here in Australia, because Mind Medicine Australia this month, I gather, have presented a proposal to the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the Australian drug regulators, to reschedule both psilocybin, the active component in magic mushrooms, and MDMA as therapeutically available medical treatments.
Yeah, that's true. Like at the moment, both psilocybin and MDMA are in Schedule 9 of the TGA schedules. Or the poison standard, as it's called. Schedule 9 is prohibited substance. It can be accessed under the special access scheme, but it's difficult. We've applied to move these substances to Schedule 8. Schedule 8 is still a controlled medicine. It's the same schedule that medicinal cannabis is in. It means that the medicines become more easily available, but again, in regulated medically controlled conditions. We're not talking about patients being able to take these medicines home.
Yeah, okay. So what is the proposal or the submission that has been made this month, and what does that process look like?
Well, the process is quite a long process. We lodged the applications in July. We're now going through a public submission period. So, you know, all of your listeners out there who would like to make submissions, you know, go onto the Mind Medicine Australia website, and there's a how-to guide there. The submissions, public submissions closing date is 28th of September. There's then an interim decision by the TGA in November. There's then a further consultation period, which takes it through to April next year. And then there's a final decision by the TGA, and it becomes effective in June. So it's a long period. Two distinct periods of public submissions. So anyone, any of your listeners who would like to be heard, you know, please put in the submission.
Okay. And I mean, if they do, and if you're listened to by the TGA and the submission is successful, does that mean that in June next year, someone who's currently experiencing depression will be able to access MDMA therapy to treat their symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, yes, you can access it through the special access scheme. You can do it now. It just makes it easier, makes the logistics much easier.
Right.
And it also means that at the state level, the state laws are easier if it's Schedule 8 rather than Schedule 9.
Okay. And what about getting hold of the drug itself? I mean, is that as simple as, I don't know, jumping onto the dark web or going out and picking some mushrooms? What does it look like to acquire psychedelics with which to perform psychedelic-assisted psychotherapy?
Well, I mean, the key thing is we're talking about medical-grade GMP standard medicines. We're not talking about going into a field and picking mushrooms or getting these things from the dark web. We have a lab in North America. GMP standard can produce medical grade psilocybin and MDMA. It's synthesized, so it's not the natural form, but it's the form that's been used in all the trials to date. I should also say, by the way, that the FDA in the States, which is the equivalent of our TGA as the regulator, has given both of these therapies breakthrough therapy status. And you only get that status if they're seen as having the capacity to change the paradigm in terms of increasing available treatments.
Okay, so that's the substance itself, the psychedelic. Then there's the therapy part. I mean, is this something that just anyone can walk somebody through, or do you need special training? Do you need special people to be able to help people through these experiences and then out the other side?
Yeah, you definitely need special training because you're working with people who are in altered states. And it's an experience that for many people going through it is such a surprising experience that you need people who you can talk it through with and who can understand what you've been through. What we're doing there is we've got a therapist training course. We brought out a lady called Renee Harvey from Imperial College, who is on their therapist training team. She's designed a course. It opens in February next year. There'll be two intakes next year. The first course will finish in June, so just about the right time for the rescheduling of the medicines from 9 to 8. That will give Australia a significant number of therapists over time who will be capable of working with the psychiatrist involved to make sure that these therapies are given in a safe and beneficial manner to patients.
Okay. What's the response been like from the government when you go to the regulators or you go to, people who make decisions about whether these therapies should be rescheduled and legalized? What's their response when you tell them that you want to get people tripping again? Are you taken seriously? Is it something that comes something of a surprise to...
Well, we certainly don't use your terminology of tripping when we talk to regulators and people in government. I think the key thing is we always go in and we just talk about the science and the data. And as soon as people see the science and the data and the remission rates, then we get a very positive hearing. And one of the reasons that we get a positive hearing is that mental illness affects everybody. It either affects us as individuals or it affects a family member. Or it affects a close friend. And if you're a politician, you're no different. You know, you're facing mental illness in your families, in your constituents. So there's pressure on you to find solutions. And unfortunately, there's been virtually no innovation in this sector for nearly 50 years. So it's crying out for innovation. And then these therapies come along, show remarkable remission rates and fabulous trial results at leading universities. Mm. So from a regulator perspective, they are really interesting therapies.
Nonetheless, they're therapies that have been tried before. I mean, you spoke about no innovation for 50 years. 50 years ago, in the 1950s and 60s, there was a wave of research with psychedelics, and then it stopped. What has your approach been at Mind Medicine Australia to try and get the ball rolling again, to try and get the conversation restarted and to kind of reconsider whether psychedelics may have merit as a treatment for mental illness?
Simply to go to the data, to look at the science. You know, it's tragic what happened, because you're quite right. In the 50s and 60s, there were about 40,000 patients that were treated with these therapies, and they were really seen as the new wave for psychiatry. And then Nixon had his war on drugs, and that had nothing to do with the data and the science. That was all about attacking the anti-war movement. He prohibited these medicines, and that just dried up research. And so for 50 years, patients have been denied the benefits of these medicines because of, frankly, a cheap political trick by Nixon to attack the anti-war movement. That is one of the frustrations. You know, they're currently Schedule 9. They're prohibited substances, and they're prohibited for political reasons, not for scientific or medical reasons.
Yeah, but prohibited they are. And I mean, it sounds like it's a formidable challenge to kind of to overturn half a century of stasis and of stigma. Is it something that you, Peter Hunt, can do alone by just turning up with a stack of well-accredited scientific research papers to the relevant regulator's office? Or is there a more widespread advocacy approach that is required here to try and shift the paradigm, as you say, not just in terms of what treatments are available, but in terms of how people think about those treatments?
Yeah, I mean, shifting a paradigm means that you've got to shift the thinking of every stakeholder. And by stakeholder, I'm talking about general practitioners, psychiatrists, psychologists, because, you know, they're all affected by stigma as well. If you know nothing about these medicines and they're prohibited, then the simple person inside you says, well, they must be bad, until you realize they were prohibited for the wrong reasons, political reasons rather than medical reasons. So we do a lot of work bringing medical people up to date with the latest research. We hold webinars. We've now got about 30 chapters around Australia, which are designed to raise awareness in local communities. We do webinars that are available to members of the general public. We talk to the media. We really endeavour to raise the awareness amongst all key stakeholder groups, so they can all frankly benefit from each other's awareness, and we can really drive the momentum in this country for change. And I have to say, I've actually been pleasantly surprised since we started Mind Medicine Australia. There is a preparedness to understand the data and the science and move beyond stigma. And I'm really hopeful that in the next few years, we'll start to see these medicines as medicines becoming a normal part of our medical system and available to a lot of Australians.
And what do you think that will mean, especially in the context of a global pandemic that's left certain parts of Australia and large parts of the world kind of completely locked in and disconnected, so to speak? What do you think these therapies, these psychedelics used therapeutically, might be able to achieve as we move out of the pandemic into whatever the new world looks like?
Yeah. Well, before the pandemic, the Productivity Commission was talking about 1 in 5 Australians having a chronic mental illness. So you can imagine what it's like now after months of lockdown, particularly in places like Victoria. In Victoria, we're already seeing a rapid increase in young children harming themselves, self-harm. There's almost certainly going to be increased suicide coming out of this pandemic. Mental health is something where people are looking for solutions. And unfortunately, there haven't been many solutions in terms of treatments available. And the treatments that have been available haven't worked particularly well for many people. The beauty of these medicines is that the remission rates are high. And that means that we can start to turn around these terrible mental health statistics and get people well. And, you know, let me say, it's very easy to talk about statistics, you know, one in five Australians, but actually each of those one in five are human beings who are suffering. And many of them are traumatized. And if we can help them get their lives back and feel the joy of life, which should be every human being's right, then that changes Australia. It makes us a better country. It's really exciting.
Peter Hunt there, talking up the potential of a psychedelic renaissance right here in Australia. And you can go to their website, mindmedicineaustralia.org, for more info on their advocacy and how you can get involved, if you dare.
That was Indie Media's Jesse Noakes, as he said, speaking to Peter Hunt, the founder of Mind Medicine Australia.